Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Network, this is Legion of News.
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful Southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A man is kicked off an airplane for being too tall. A man puts 4 pounds of chicken in his pants. And a man with crooked teeth robs a Walmart.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed! Well, this is Legion of News!
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, April 6th, 2011. A man with crooked teeth robbed a Salem Walmart at gunpoint while chatting on his cell phone last weekend, according to police, who said the suspect...
I think you mean talkie box.
His talkie box. The police said the suspect is still on the loose. The suspect displayed a handgun to a clerk while demanding cash and then escaped with an undisclosed amount of money.
Doesn't it seem like one out of every three Walmart customers who just stands there is probably inadvertently displaying a handgun, though?
And crooked teeth?
Yeah. I mean, really. I wasn't going to go the crooked teeth. That just seemed, even for me, that was the... It was the low-hanging fruit even for this program. But, you know, sometimes you just gotta take what life gives you.
Yeah.
And life gives you a guy with crooked teeth. Did it say crooked teeth or missing teeth?
No, it says crooked teeth. He is described as a white man in his mid-20s, about 5'9", and a thin to medium build, blue eyes, and crooked teeth.
Let me understand this. A scrawny white guy with crooked teeth robbed a Walmart.
Wearing what, Rick Emerson? A hoodie.
Okay.
A black Adidas athletic jacket with white stripes down the sleeves, slightly baggy blue jeans, and tennis shoes.
All right. Have fun tracking that guy down.
The thing that I get is that apparently he was on his phone the whole time he was robbing the place, which just, I wonder, is that the thing where he just goes up to the register and he's on the phone and he kind of goes, hold on a second, and just kind of pulls his shirt back to show the gun and just goes, cash.
Damn it, woman.
Anyway,
I don't even know what a non-sequential bill is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
And this was where?
Walmart in Salem.
Okay. This is the second weird story in a row from Salem. Yesterday we had the whole thing of the imprisoning and the raping and the renting out. And then today, white guy crooked teeth robbing a Walmart. Salem is trending downward. This is their tote board is falling.
Well, our friend Bobby Fatboy Roberts grew up in Salem. And to hear him tell it, it's like the Bakersfield of Oregon.
What nothing should be described as the Bakersfield of anything. Not even Bakersfield deserves to be described as the Baker. There's, on that new Social Distortion record, there's this song, it has the saddest chorus I've ever heard in my life, and it just says, I'm stuck here in Bakersfield. And it's like, that enough. That's enough right there. That alone, because you hear that and you go, oh, God. It just makes you want to reach for a big bottle of booze somewhere.
So, all right.
Salem just seems to be a big... It just seems to be a big flat square and nothing.
It kind of is. I mean, when I was worked as a pastry chef, I worked at a hotel in Salem. And it was the only hotel in Salem that actually had banquet facilities. And it was the Quality Inn. It's a Red Lion now, but at the time I worked there, it was a Quality Inn. And it was the only place that had banquet facilities.
Well, there's got to be at least one place for when Zeke gets out earlier than expected.
Salem, by the way, just to refresh, Salem is the state capital.
Yeah. We try not to mention that to people, though. I mean, that's the sort of thing that people, you know, they don't really know it if they're not from here. Like, everybody thinks that the capital of Washington is Seattle. And I think people in Washington just let them think that. Because
sure.
It's not like, not like Olympia is really any pride. Well, it's like Sacramento. I mean, Jesus,
yeah.
Sacramento's no Bakersfield. But, I mean, Sacramento's not like a dazzling jewel of humanity either.
Sacramento is to California, though, what Salem is to Oregon.
It really is.
It's just flat and boring, and there's nothing there except for the state capitol.
It's just kind of a vague coating of dust and regret. And that's what Sacramento is to me. And I guess Salem is sort of, I mean, it's not the worst place on earth, but it's like, yeah, you don't really look at it and go, like, this is the epicenter of our culture here in Oregon. It's a fantastic place.
It's not a vacation destination.
No.
Let's just say that.
No, it's not. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Later on today, you'll be able to get this program via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. And by here, of course, we mean Cascadia.fm or legionofnews.com. You can also get it on your mobile device. And it's at mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today we have a...
I don't know what we have.
We have a religious nutcase watch. I know that because I pulled one earlier.
Oh,
so
good.
We had a religious nutcase watch coming up. Also, Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week will be here with his parents.
Now, have we confirmed he is definitely bringing his parents?
Well, we haven't even really confirmed that he's showing up because, you know, last week we thought he was going to show up and then not so much. So,
and they said, I could come next week and I could bring my parents. And we said, hooray, bring your parents.
And I don't think that he was really planning on us saying yes. He's like, I'm sorry, I missed it. I miscalculated my schedule. I'll bring my parents. And we went, great. And I chimed in that, of course, with all the shame that he had brought on his house, that he was, you know, he's more or less obligated to do that. So we'll see if he actually makes it in today. But
yeah.
I believe he will be here. His parents may or may not be in tow. So that's coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Here's Don Taylor.
A Portland man says he was kicked off a Horizon Airlines flight last month because he was too tall. A Horizon Air spokeswoman admits the man was wrongly removed from the plane after a flight attendant asked the unidentified passenger to take his legs out of the aisle. The man, who is 6'9" tall, explained that his legs did not fit. According to a post on the website The Consumerist, he was then told to get off the plane, which was flying to Ontario, California. Marianne Lindsay, a spokeswoman for Alaska Air, says, what should have happened in this scenario is the flight attendant should have asked for passengers seated in an exit or bulkhead row to voluntarily give up their seats to provide the passenger with the much-needed legroom he requires.
What is the bulkhead? I don't know what that is. I don't know what part of the plane that's like, I don't know where a giblet is, and I don't know what the bulkhead is.
Is that the part in the front, like, right behind, it's not behind the cockpit, because the cockpit is further up a bay, but it's up in the front, where there's, like, no seat in front of you?
No, you mean, like, in first class? Or ahead of first class, like when you walk in and the steward is standing there going, hello, hi.
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, in whichever section, it's that section in the front where there's nothing in front of you.
Well, I guess maybe head would denote that it's toward the front of the plane and it's not the cockpit, so I guess. I don't know. I don't really know.
Lindsay said the airline apologized to the passenger and offered him the value of his ticket off a future flight. Notice they didn't give him his money back.
No, of course not.
Or give him a free flight.
No.
They gave him that much of a discount on a future flight.
It's always great when they apologize by giving you something that you then need to spend more money to be able to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is where? Horizon?
Horizon.
I didn't think Horizon was still in business.
I guess they're owned by Alaska and they do, I guess, just short jumps. They have smaller planes.
Hey, let me ask you this about Alaska Airlines. Who's the guy that's on the tail fin of the plane? It looks like Vladimir Lenin or somebody.
He's an Eskimo.
Really?
Yeah.
He's just like some... Is he a random Eskimo?
I guess. They used to have commercials on TV where they had the Eskimo guy in his fur-lined, parka or whatever it is, looking all outdoorsy.
Was he cowering at the giant metal bird in the sky that an angry god had sent to punish his people?
I don't know why they still have him on the plane, though, because I don't think people really, I don't know.
Well, I don't even... Okay, see, I always just thought it was like...
I thought it was like Leonid Brezhnev or something. He looks doesn't he look strangely Russian?
He does.
I guess I never put together Alaska Eskimo, whatever. No. Plus, don't you think, like, here's the thing, like, here's something to think about. I'm not saying that I feel this way, but doesn't Eskimo seem like one of those terms that, it seems like one of those terms that by now, like some faction of the PC brigade should have stamped out. It seems like a thing that ought to be offensive to somebody.
Yeah, like Eskimos themselves should say, we are actually 14 separate tribes.
Totally.
And Eskimo is just a slight on our people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it is or not, but it just seems like one of those words that when you say it, it sort of sounds like you're slurring somebody.
I don't think Eskimos care, though. I mean, I think they've got enough to worry. First of all, they have a word for everything. They have like 700 words for snow. And then they're busy just keeping warm and living off of, like, sheep blubber. So I don't think...
Yes, and living in houses made of ice, Don.
They have
more... And talking to penguins.
They have more important things to do.
And saying ugh.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And making igloos.
All right. You're listening to Legion of News, an inclusive program here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Thus and so. Here's Don Taylor.
Do you have anything with sound for me today?
Oh, yeah, it's over here.
Yeah?
Oh, or would be if there was paper in the printer.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. That'll be, you'll have that here in a few.
All right. I'll read something else while that's going on. Thirsty fans don't have to leave the seats at Safeco Field in Seattle anymore as long as they have their phone nearby. Kevin Zelko, a special education teacher and beer vendor at Safeco Field, is going to use Twitter during Mariners games to bring beverages to fans who would like a drink. Zelko said he can tote beers to anywhere in the stadium for people who tweet him at MS Beer Vendor. I don't know why it's Ms. Beer Vendor. He's a guy. But he says
Mariners.
Oh, M's Beer Vendor. There we go. Thank you. It'll be a fun thing to put into play, he said. It's a good workout. You tweet your order and your seat number, and Zelko will bring the beer to you at no extra cost.
Now, does he work for the Mariners? Because that seems like a thing that they're going to let him do for like a day before they tell him he can't, because they will then steal the idea and do it themselves.
Yeah, I'm really not sure.
If he's just some guy, it seems like you have to have a business license for that.
It sounds like he's just some guy.
Wait, but does he charge you for it?
He doesn't charge anything extra, but he does take tips, and he says he'll donate half of his tips to the Red Cross for earthquake and tsunami.
Okay, so if he's actually not charging you, and if it's just up to you whether you just give him tips, then I guess he could make the argument he's not actually in business.
And actually, he has a meeting with the Mariners today to talk to them about actually making it an official service and it being okay that he does it.
Maybe they can have a service where they tweet for better players.
That could happen.
Hey, we're losing again. Send somebody different.
He says, I envision it's going to be pretty busy. It's not going to be foolproof on the first day, but it's a very usable function. It may take a game or two, but this has become much larger than we thought it was going to be. He already has, like, over 600 Twitter followers. And many have vowed to only use him, you know, when they really, really need a beer. And not to just, like, bother him, I guess. But
taking his first step into a larger world. Here's the thing about a guy like this. That's going to be... I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but that's one of those guys that you know he's going to end up being a billionaire. Because he was just like, well, tweet me and I'll bring you beer. That's going to be one of the...
Actually, or what will happen is the Mariners will give him $1,000 for the idea, and then they'll patent the idea, and then somebody, you know, in the Mariners organization will then sell it to everybody else in, like, Major League Baseball, and they'll be, like, a millionaire on the idea, and he'll have gotten, like $500 for
maybe.
It.
Maybe. I don't know. I knew a guy when I was, when I was living in Spokane, Washington, a guy who, like... Just an ignoramus. I mean, just a mouth breather. And but he started this, you know. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with manual labor. I mean, I'm not cut out for it. But that's because I'm weak and spindly. And so there's not like there's anything wrong with like being a guy who mows lawns or something. But I mean, let's not you and I confuse that with like cerebrally challenging work. And even if you do that, it's like. The reason this guy did it is just because he was dense. I mean, that was the reason. It was like he just had no ability or aptitude at anything. And his life, basically, it's like, what did John Lennon say? You know, life is what happens when you're busy making it. This guy's life is what happened when he wasn't at home drinking and just, like, scratching his balls. Like, that was most of his, you know, just sitting there on the couch, just, you know, knuckle deep in his pants, just giving himself a scratch while opening a Löwenbräu. But at some point, he figured out that, like, you know, they were going to disconnect his cable if he didn't make some money. So he just started this thing where he would just, like, go around to people's, houses, and he would mow their lawns, you know, because he could, and this is the thing about it, he found out that most people would just let him drink They didn't care. Like, if you hired the guy to mow your lawn, like, what do you care if you look at and he's drinking it? He's putting down a long neck, right? So he would just load up on beer in the morning and just go from block to block mowing people's lawns, drinking beer, getting paid largely in cash, I think almost none of which was declared to the man. And it's like, by the time I moved away from Spokane, I don't know, maybe a year or so later, but the time I moved away, I mean, he was making, it was like $175,000 a year, because it was, soon the demand was like more than he could, so he was hiring like some other guys. And he was hiring some guys who were maybe not legally eligible for a lot of jobs in the United States. And it's like the guy was making six figures, and he was just, and again, it's not like there's anything wrong with mowing lawns or whatever, but it's less about that and more about the fact that the guy was just a maroon. I mean, he was just like a knuckle dragger, like you would not even believe. And so, like, that's part of the American dream, I suppose, that even the densest among us, I mean, it's like you can have the density of just coal-fired lead and make $1 jillion on something. It does sort of make you wonder occasionally why anybody bothers to try to come up with something original or creative when you can just be this guy and just, you know, sit there drinking Meisterbrow on somebody's lawn and making six figures a year. So either one of two things will happen. Either this guy will get shafted at his idea, or he'll be like, you know, a quintillionaire.
Yeah. Here's Don Taylor and stuff.
America's child population is becoming more diverse. The number of white kids declined in almost every state and major metropolitan area over the past decade, while the number of Hispanic and Asian children swelled by 5.5 million, according to the Wall Street Journal. Without the massive surge in Hispanics, 4.8 million, the population of Americans under 18 would have dropped from 2000 between 2000 and 2010. Numbers of Black and Native American children also declined, but less markedly than whites. Most of the Hispanic children have Mexican parents, while many of the Asian children originate in China, India, the Philippines, Vietnam, and Korea. The number of mixed-race children grew 46%.
What do you mean most of the Hispanic children have Mexican parents? Would they have French parents?
Well, they could have South American parents. They could have parents from Puerto Rico. They could have... I mean...
I was to understand...
Hispanics are not all from Mexico.
Now, I was to understand that the term Hispanic, as it is traditionally understood, that was a commingling of the native peoples of Mexico at the time, who were the Indians who were living there, you know, Aztecs or whatever, and then Spanish journeyers or invaders, depending on who you are, I suppose. But it was the Spanish, and then the Indians who were here, and then da 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 bang, Hispanics. Now, I could be wrong about that, but I thought it was the people who lived in what is now Mexico,
maybe,
and then the Spanish.
Maybe I'm mixing up Hispanic and Latino, and maybe they are as well. I don't know.
Latino is just confusing, because that implies that, I don't know, that you serve at the pleasure of Caligula or something. I mean, if you don't live in or near Rome, you're not Latin.
Well, analysts say that non-Hispanic whites may become a minority in the U.S. much earlier than expected.
Okay.
Because... As Slate says, as I mentioned this before the show, Slate does it in the headline for this piece. Stuff white people like, not breeding.
Well, no, I can say, look, speaking for the white population, I think we can say here on this program that is, in fact, true. Is it not, Don Taylor?
Here, just this particular selection of two here in the... not breeders.
We are huge fans of non-reproductive sex.
That's right.
All right. In all its many forms.
Yes. I'd like to say, by the way, you're wearing one of my favorite of your shirts today.
Yes.
It's clever and subtle.
It's the best shirt I own.
It is a great shirt. It's in a very classy sort of a script. It says Barksdale and Bell, Baltimore.
Yeah, this is, now I have to tell you, this is actually...
So if you're a fan of The Wire, you go, ooh, I get that. But if you're not a fan of The Wire, you don't know that it references, like, violence and cocaine and and destruction.
And it looks like an actual brand logo, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
like,
does.
Like, reminiscent of the Abercrombie thing, but not quite. It looks like it's an actual, like it would be an actual clothing company. So it works on two levels. It's aesthetically pleasing in and of itself, but then if you know The Wire, you're like, yeah. And the great thing about it is like, I'll wear this shirt and like, I don't know, one out of every 12 or 15 people will see me and they'll go, Wire, yeah, 5-0, you know, or whatever, you know, just, you know, Omar coming, and they'll just shout something at me. You know who created this shirt and this logo is Cheryl Kanakoa.
Really?
Cheryl actually sells these shirts. This is a Cheryl Kanakoa original.
I had no idea.
I keep saying I was going to put a link up to it, and I never do.
Now it sounds like we're pimping Cheryl's stuff, and I really had no idea that she designed that. It's great.
It's a great shirt. She created the shirt, I don't know, some time ago, and I And I said, oh, I'll put a link up for it, but, you know, so people can buy it. And I said, but what I told her, I said, I'm going to wait, though. I said, I'm going to wait until I have it, until I am photographed wearing it, and until that photograph is online, so that I can be, like, the first guy out of the gate with it. Because, how often do you see somebody with a really cool, really interesting T-shirt, but it's like a celebrity wearing it? It's like some guy wearing it on, like, you know, Conan O'Brien or something. And then you feel like, well, that's a great idea for a shirt, or that's a wonderful T-shirt that I bet he found in some really obscure store that I can now never wear. Because it's, you know, because then you're just like, so I'm like, that's a great shirt. I want to be the first guy photographed anywhere wearing that shirt.
Oh, I thought maybe you were saying that you, in this case, are the celebrity.
No.
You would make other people despair of being as cool as you.
No, I'm just saying, it's like, how often are you the very first person to discover some interesting, like, brand or logo or a design? Or there's, like, you know, the other shirt I wear, I don't wear it anymore, actually, because it's a little too big for me, but it's that, the one that I get a lot of comments on is the one that's the AC/DC logo, but it says ADHD, which I love. Let's have no illusions that I, like, created that, or that I just, like, found it in a little out-of-the-way store in San Marin or something. I saw, what's his name, Justin Grenier wearing it on Entourage. And I went, I saw it on Entourage, and I went online. I don't think the episode was even over. It's like, I just got my laptop and it went ADHD shirt, and I saw it and I ordered it. By the end of, I think within 5 minutes of seeing him wearing it on Entourage, I had ordered it and it was on its way to my home. And, you know, so that's a great shirt, but it's not a thing that, like, I can say that I somehow, you know, stumbled on. I am the first person, I believe, to wear this and to be photographed wearing it. And there's several pictures of me, actually. I think if you go to our profile, or if you go to, like, our photo gallery, where it's, you know, the pictures of you and I for the show, I think I'm wearing this shirt in one of those. And I told Cheryl, I said, as soon as I'm on record wearing it, then we'll put up the link and then everybody else can buy it.
And yet you did not.
I haven't. So I'll do that today, though, because it's a really great shirt. So, yeah.
Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi was fashionably absent from his own sex abuse trial on Wednesday, forcing the judge to postpone proceedings until May 31st.
One doesn't really think about being fashionably anything at a sex abuse trial.
No. Berlusconi stands accused of paying minors for sex and abusing his office. Also absent from the media circus was Karima El Marouk, also known as Ruby Heartstealer, the Moroccan pole dancer whom Berlusconi alleged paid for sex when she was a minor. The prosecution says Berlusconi presided over the now infamous Bunga Bunga orgies, choosing female bed partners based on their dancing skills. Berlusconi says it's just the lefties out to get him. He said, I am the man most persecuted by magistrates in the history of mankind throughout the world.
That's wonderful. That's so great. That he's just embracing it. I mean, he's just grabbing it and just running with it as far as he possibly can. That's like when Heather Mills was divorcing Paul McCartney, and she said, I wish I could find this soundbite. I managed to lose it somewhere. And she said, I've been treated worse than a murderer or a pedophile. And it was so great. Just that she had no sense of proportion whatsoever. She had a completely unrealistic view of the entire thing. And he does too, but to an even greater extent. So, well done. All right. Ruby Heartstealer. I've heard of miners working the shaft before, but, wah, wah, zam. Yeah. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. You can get this program later on the day at legionofnews.com or Cascadia.fm or at iTunes. And the next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com.
Let's do our science.
Here's your science on the march. Brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find them online at squireselectric.com. It is Squires Electric. .com or 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. And I'll tell you this. Here's proof, by the way, that Squires, they know what they're doing and they know what they're talking about. They understand that everybody has an area of expertise. And we know this because actually just as we were getting ready to come in and do the show here, this is what, it was like 11:30 or something like that?
Yeah, about quarter to 12, yeah.
We're getting ready to do the show. And we were prepping or something, and Marshall came in. Listener Marshall, who has been listening to us for a fair amount of time over the years, and he's listened to knew you from your appearances on the terrestrial version of the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah.
And he said, I was standing in the kitchen, and he said, "Are you Rick Emerson?" And sometimes when you hear that, you just sort of Like, you kind of flinch, like you're waiting for the gunshot or something. And it turns out that he is here in this building. Squires is also in this building. And they're working on the air conditioning system because Squires understands that just because you're good at one thing doesn't necessarily mean you're good at everything else. Just because you understand, you know, plumbing doesn't necessarily mean you're going to know fireworks. Just because you know fireworks doesn't necessarily know, you don't know begonias. Just because you know begonias, you might not know ichthyology. And just because, you are good at insert whatever you're good at here, doesn't necessarily mean you can work on the electrical system in your home or business without, killing yourself. So you want to contact Squires Electric at 503-252-1609. And when it comes to issues in your home or business regarding electricity or wires or wiring or repairs or upgrades or anything like that, again, that's SquiresElectric.com or 503-252-1609. They've been in Portland for 13 years. They are licensed, they are bonded, they are insured, they understand what they do. They're going to do it right the first time, and they're going to do it safely, and they're going to do it efficiently, and they're going to do it economically. And so you are going to be better served in the long run in numerous ways. So you can find them again at SquiresElectric.com or 503-252-1609. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. Squires Electric, proud sponsors of this Science on the March.
Who is behind the Mona Lisa smile, Rick Emerson? Who? It's a mystery that has been pondered for centuries.
Okay.
Now a team of Italian archaeologists will search a long-lost tomb, for the remains of a Florentine woman believed to have been Da Vinci's model.
Although, so this isn't like the painting itself.
No, this is who modeled for it.
Okay, because when you said, who's behind, I thought it was going to be another one of the stories where we x-rayed it and we found that there's a...
Oh.
It's like that...
There's a picture of a bear.
Well, they always claim that it's like Da Vinci's self-portrait or whatever.
Oh, that,
and that it's,
yeah.
It's like some Dan Brown garbage. And it's a... But this is about, the question of who the model actually was.
Yeah, they're going to the tomb of Lisa Gherardini. And hope to piece together bits of her skull so they can compare her face to the portrait. The remains of the 60-something woman who died in 1542 are believed to lie buried beneath a convent in Florence. Archaeologists plan to find her forgotten tomb using radar, dig up her bones, and extract her DNA.
That's not a thing you anticipate when you're alive, that someday you're going to be dead, and some guy's going to be stitching together a little bit of pieces of your skull.
Well, no, and in 1542, you also didn't imagine that they'd be able to just take bits of your flesh and do something to it chemically and look at, the molecular makeup of your very essence.
And mix it with dinosaur DNA.
That's right.
Yes.
Science is evil. Speaking of crazy evil science, cows can now make enhanced milk with milk health-promoting properties that resemble those of human breast milk.
Okay.
The development is an incremental advance in a long-standing goal to produce transgenic milk with nutraceutical powers, said an expert in the field.
Nutraceutical powers. That's great.
A new study brings scientists another step closer to finding a safe and easy way of making milk that could battle debilitating diarrhea in millions of children in the developing world.
Will it get rid of my engine knock?
The research might also help people with Crohn's disease, irritable bowel syndrome, and other gastrointestinal problems. While some headlines have touted the discovery as a way to get human breast milk out of the udders of dairy cows, this kind of transgenic milk is still far more cow-like than human-like. It simply contains a boosted level of beneficial enzymes, much like the milk that human mothers produce.
Don't women already have udders? I know they're called boobs, but still, I mean, that's the scientific term. I mean, they're really, I mean, what is the... What is the reasoning here? Is it there are women who are they worried that there are kids that somehow the mom isn't able or willing to breastfeed or something, or what is the problem?
I think the most beneficial thing that could come from this is that you could basically get milk from a cow that human babies could drink and not react to poorly. They would actually react to it in a similar way that they do for breast
milk. But they got that now. Your mom makes it.
But again, though, in developing countries, you have an awful lot of women that don't produce enough breast milk or enough healthy breast milk.
No, that's true. Okay.
And that's why you got companies like Nestle that go in with salespeople dressed like nurses selling women powdered milk and telling them, it's just like breast milk, just mix it with water. And then they don't realize they have to boil the water first. And then they mix it with the water and they give it to the babies, and the babies get violently ill. And Nestle goes, cha-ching, and runs out of the country.
It would be so great if that's actually how they operated.
Actually,
yoink!
It was at one time.
No, so, but I mean a guy just literally going like, yaha, and like grabbing a bag of money and then running onto a biplane, speeding away. Suckers!
It wouldn't surprise me.
Or just somebody just delivering just a huge, huge tankard of Mr. Pibb. And just going, here you go, it's the answer to all your health problems.
The Nestle's Quick Bunny. A guy in a Nestle's Quick Bunny suit is just there handing out samples going, "Here, that'll be $5.
Have some slusho."
There are 3,000 more lysozymes in human milk than in cow's milk. Levels are 1,600 times higher in human milk than in goat's milk. And those things are necessary for humans.
Also for being able to sing clang, clang, clang with the trolley.
Right. So, also, among the other advances, scientists have engineered cows that excrete extra lactoferrin into their milk, and they've developed transgenic goats that have 270 times more lysozyme in their milk than normal. They fed their transgenic goat milk to young pigs and documented gastrointestinal health as a result.
This just seems like we're playing some weird game of, it's like some scientific version of that mousetrap game. Where you have to just set everything up in the right order, and then it's, you know, or that we're, it's some version of like the old lady who swallowed a fly, but it's like the old pig who swallowed a goat.
Now we give the pig milk, the goat milk to the baby pigs, then the baby pigs grow up, and we get like crazy science milk from the pigs, and we feed that to the baby mice, and then the baby mice grow enormous udders, and then we get mouse milk, and we give that to the meerkats, and. And eventually something turns into Mothra.
It seems like we could just be using this to give women extra boobs, really. And then, you know, and then that could be the milk that then goes off to developing nations. You know, it goes into some sort of a, you know, goes into a thing, and then it's sent, you know, then everybody wins.
Would that actually, I've heard men express a desire for extra boobs, but would that really be aesthetically pleasing, or would you be like sort of shocked and appalled by it?
Well, I think at first. But, I mean, really, let's be honest, you know, guys, think about the many things that you probably seek out on the internet now that at first shocked and appalled you. and that now, you know, you know, it's just considered part of your nightly ritual. I mean let's all speak as men here.
I used to be alarmed by balloon sex, but, you know, now.
I mean, you got to imagine the first guy in Japan who went, you want to put the tentacle where? And it's going to do what? Well, that's weird, you know, but then 20 years later, but like half their GDP is based on that now. So, you know, we can get used to anything, really. Yeah.
British billionaire Richard Branson unveiled plans to pilot a flying mini submarine to the furthest depths of the ocean. The single-seater Virgin Oceanic craft will try to reach the deepest points of each of the world's five oceans, in which would be the first such feat, starting with the deepest of them all in the Western Pacific later this year. Branson said, "With space long ago reached by man and commercial spaceflight tantalizingly close, the last great challenge for humans is to reach and explore the depths of our planet's oceans." He said, "More men have been to the moon than have been down further than 20,000 feet." And he announced that his project called the Jules Verne, a 20,000 leagues under the sea style project at Newport Harbor, south of Los Angeles.
I mean, I'm all for exploring. I mean, he's really right about that when he says that we've explored more of outer space than we have of the floor of the ocean and the whatever and all that. It's not even exploring the ocean, the bottom of the five oceans and the Marianas Trench and all that stuff. I mean, that's all great. It's just him I don't like.
Yeah.
And it's because of that stupid sailing around the world in a goddamn balloon and making us all follow, you know, like, so we had to hear about it every day in the news that a guy with too much money and time was sort of, you know, like blowing around in the clouds for 80 or 90 days, and that we had to be told about it constantly. I will never forgive him for that.
I like the fact that he's talking about how he's going to do this. And then it goes on to say that he's sharing piloting duties with U.S. sailor and explorer Chris Welsh, the chief pilot of the winged submersible, in five dives. So if the pressure testing of the sub succeeds, the first trip will be taken by this other guy into the Mariana Trench.
I see.
So Branson's exploring the deepest things of the sea, you know, after he sends another guy down first to make sure he doesn't die.
Is this like when it says, you know, J.J. Abrams presents Cloverfield, written by and directed by other people?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
If there was the possibility that J.J. Abrams, like, could implode from the pressure of making the movie.
If wishing made it so.
Yeah. So, with his deep sea project, initially a single-seater craft, he made clear he saw it going the same way as Virgin Galactic, which started small before planning to offer an eight-seater spacecraft. He said, at Virgin, we believe that there are thousands of people who'd like to explore the oceans and become aquanauts.
Okay. Richard Branson.
That's all the science.
All right, there you go. There's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. Here is Don Taylor.
The third suspect and so-called ringleader in the attempted kidnapping of Columbia Sportswear's Gert Boyle agreed to a guilty plea in the case Tuesday. Do we have a some sound on that?
No.
No. Okay.
Get off me, you brute.
All right. Clackamas District Attorney Greg Horner said that Nestor Caballero Gutierrez entered the plea on kidnapping, burglary, robbery, and assault charges. Boyle was returning to her Westland home last November when police said she was the victim of assault, robbery, and attempted kidnapping. Court records show the three planned to kidnap Boyle and seek $20,000 ransom. Gutierrez was spotted by police in a nearby McDonald's and captured last November after the home invasion. In a statement on Boyle's behalf, they said, this defendant's guilty plea today is another positive step towards achieving justice for her as a victim.
So what was the thing? So they, when you say he was in a nearby McDonald's, so I'm not even sure how the whole evening shook out. Like, did they, at some point, did they go like, well, this isn't working,
well,
let's leave.
Well, didn't she kind of, like, fight them off?
I guess.
Like, you won't take me!
Just because I can't.
I'm old but feisty.
Maybe it's just that we imagine her doing that because she's awesome. But it sounds like at some point they just went, well, screw this, and then left, and then that guy said, well, I'm going to get some coffee.
Well, apparently she was tied up and threatened, but then somehow still managed to activate a silent alarm.
Excellent.
So I guess that's part of how the ne'er-do-wells were captured.
And then he decided to duck into the local McDonald's because there's no way that the cops would ever look there.
No.
For some of our more low-rent citizens.
Although, you know, it's probably not a bad idea. If you're looking for some place to just go, you're kind of a low-rent citizen, you want to blend in somewhere, duck into a McDonald's. You're not, no matter what it is you look like, you're not going to stand out in a McDonald's.
I suppose. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us next hour of the Rick Emerson Radio Program with Religious Nutcase Watch, also Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week, possibly his parents, and more news of comedy and information. Here's Don Taylor.
The alleged mastermind behind the 9/11 terrorist attacks, along with several other alleged terrorists, will be tried before military tribunals at Guantanamo Bay and not New York City. White House spokesman Jay Carney says President Obama is focusing on safety when it comes to this decision.
This is called
Guantanamo.
Hold on a second. I know that theoretically it's called Guantanamo. It's what your people call Guantanamo and my people call
Maze.
A cut from yesterday that I therefore didn't have racked up properly. That's my own failure,
okay.
Don.
Well, we could move on to something else.
No. Let me find it. You've teased it. Don't let it be said that Rick Emerson falls down on his part of the equation.
So
doesn't Guantanamo sound like something that Mike Love tried to rhyme for Kokomo but probably just couldn't make work? All right. Here we go.
The president's commitment here is that those who are suspected and accused of participating in those heinous attacks be brought to justice. That is his primary concern.
You know where they put disobedient farm animals? Guantanamo Bay. Ha! You can pay for this wit next hour if you like at rickemersonshow.com.
A Louisville, Kentucky man is facing criminal charges after police said he attempted to smuggle poultry out of a grocery store by concealing it in his shorts. According to arrest records, Stephen P. Malone was seen stuffing 4 pounds of chicken down the front of his pants around 4 p.m. Sunday at the Value Market on Mitcher Avenue. Police said he was walking down the aisle and his shorts were falling down past his knees. According to arrest records, he was confronted by store personnel. Police said Malone smelled of alcohol. He also had 2 packages of M&Ms in his pockets.
Of course.
He's charged with theft and public intoxication.
4 pounds of chicken seems to be, I mean, that's a lot.
That's a lot of chicken.
I mean, that's a size. That's a considerable amount of poultry, I would imagine, to put inside your pants. Does it say what form of, I mean, was it frozen? Was it? Are they cutlets? Is it cooked?
No, it just said chicken. I would imagine it was probably just your cold cut chicken in the plastic wrap.
Just figuring he can cook the crotch away later on.
I'm hungry. I could I'll just keep this in my pants.
All right.
And some M&Ms would go good with that.
What can wash this crotch chicken down just right?
What's for dinner, honey? Pants chicken.
Honey, what kind of wine goes with pants chicken? This Don Taylor. Red wine with your crotch chicken, sir. Very good. Excellent choice.
President Obama is talking tough as the government edges ever closer to a shutdown on Friday. saying he won't sign a stopgap if lawmakers don't reach a deal. We don't have time for games, he said on Tuesday night. What we can't do is have a my way or the highway approach to this problem. The president spoke after a series of meetings with congressional leaders, during which House Speaker John Boehner offered a new deal, $40 billion in spending cuts. This is $7 billion above the $33 billion figure provisionally agreed upon last week. Now Congress and the White House have 3 days to work out their differences. Obama said he will continue to invite congressional leaders to discuss the 2011 budget, but there's no guarantee that they will take him up on the offer. Georgia Congressman Paul Brown says that President Obama needs to do more about this.
I've got a challenge for the president. Start acting like a leader. He's been absent. He finally came to the table yesterday. We've been dealing with this for months and months.
My God, he's the knife guy. It's the freaking Sheila. Look at the meat and the blade. It's totally the knife guy from the infomercial.
Paul Brown says Democrats actually want a government shutdown to make the Republicans look bad.
I think it was a very diabolical plan that they put together back last year after the November election, and they're carrying it out.
Oh my God! Let's see. Hold on.
Diabolical plan.
Hold on. Let's see if I've just got a. Hold on. Let's just do a little back to back of.
I think it was a very diabolical plan that they put together.
All right. So we got that.
A broadsword.
Wait. Hold on.
A three-piece dive show. High-end fixed blades.
Forget all those. Even
when
though those are mine.
You can get all that and your wildlife.
Forget all those. Look at the meat in the center, Sheila.
Exactly.
That's where the deal is. That's why this one has taken it to a level unseen in the past.
He is completely the same guy.
Okay, now play Brown again.
I think it was a very diabolical plan.
If you amp this guy up a little bit, if you just gave this guy like this is where he's
this is the day job.
This is where his energy level is at like at a two. He's not quite amped up for his marquee gig as the knife dealer on late night television.
Well done.
Wow.
Here's Don Taylor.
An elderly Philadelphia woman is in the hospital after being stuck on a toilet for as many as 4 days. The 84-year-old woman was discovered Tuesday morning at her home in the Tioga Presbyterian Apartments in Philadelphia. The woman lives alone in one of the apartments. Her family had been trying to reach her since last Friday. On Tuesday morning, her social worker and the building manager went to check on her. They used a master key to enter the apartment and found the woman trapped in her bathroom. Apparently, she had fallen through the toilet seat and couldn't get out.
So this is sort of where she had no leverage.
I guess so,
because if she went back, you know, sort of ass first, then it's... You know, you're not able to push yourself up, especially if you can't reach the floor or whatever. There's no way you get wedged.
She was tired, dehydrated, and hungry. They rushed her to the hospital a few blocks away, where she was reported in stable condition. There was a pull cord alarm right next to the woman's toilet, so she could have used that to call for help. Staff members say they've tested the cord, and it worked. So it appears that for some women, the woman did not pull the cord.
Well, because there's got to be some sort of a window of time where you're thinking, I can probably get out of this. You know, and if I pull the cord now, then I'm just the person who got stuck on the toilet.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's the thing. Then the neighborhood gossip is going to have that all over. You know, Gladys is going to tell everybody about how and then she was stuck on the toilet. She couldn't get up. Can you imagine? But then once you pass the point of being able,
it's an independent living facility, so she may have just been like, if they find out I got stuck in the toilet, then they're going to put me in a real home.
It's a manacling. But then you probably, it turns on you, I would imagine, pretty quickly, not unlike hypothermia, or perhaps dehydration, where then the next thing you know, bam, you can't get off the toilet. And by the way, I speak for everybody here when I say that if you ever find yourself living in a place where there's an emergency pull cord next to the toilet, you might want to consider that you have just, you know, you're past the, you have passed the twilight years. You've hit the caboose point of your time on planet Earth.
I guess, but I mean, there's we're entering this interesting era where there are more and more elderly people. People are living longer. I don't want to say baby boomers because it is a very large chunk of humanity where we did have a fairly large population boom, and people are getting older now. And when I was a journalist, I did a couple of stories about these high-end homes, you know, the independent living places, and some of them are really, really nice. And it's like, if you're old but you're not like really super infirm, you don't need constant nursing care, you can still like kind of make your own meals and take care of yourself for the most part. There are these sort of interim places where you know, yeah, there's a cord that you can pull in case of an emergency. There's a nurse like in the facility, but you yourself are still able to like have your own apartment and not be like, you know, under constant care. One of the places I looked at actually, which I thought was really interesting, is that the beds in all of the apartments, they also had it all set up so they had like the apartments and they had communal areas where people could get together, almost like college dorms.
Right.
But they also, all of the beds were hooked up to a computer system that automatically weighed the residents, and it kept it at track of it, the data in a computer. And so if any of them started to just like lose a whole lot of weight, it would red flag on the computer. But that they didn't have to like go see the doctor and the nurses all the time. Their bed just weighed them every
okay,
night.
That's pretty great. See, that would almost turn it around for me. Because you know what you're basically living in there is you're living in that home of tomorrow they always talk about.
Yeah.
Where you know, someday you're, and then they will like show the, you know, they'll show like the 50s housewife in the kitchen where everything is made, you know, by a team of robots or whatever. And so it's sort of like that. Or that house that Daffy Duck is always showing Elmer Fudd in the cartoon.
They also had like sort of beeper GPS Lindsay Lohan ankle bracelet things for like the people who had
your
Alzheimer's.
Mom wanders away.
Yeah. And it was for the residents who had Alzheimer's. And if they started to leave the property, it would like alert someone who worked there to go like track them down, you know, sort of like a guide dog. And okay, Mrs. Johnson, and turn them around and kind of shove them back.
It should have a thing where like it's like an Autopia thing where it senses when you're getting like it detects when you are probably lost and you're just sort of wandering aimlessly, and then it just sort of gradually, like through a series of maybe retractable walls that can sort of like rise out of the ground and then vanish again, it just gently bumps you back to like where you're supposed to be. You know what I mean?
But it was also really nice because it's like I said, it was like set up like a college dorm, so everybody had their own apartments, but they had these communal areas with a communal kitchen, and everyone would like, all of the people who were living in a particular building on a particular floor, you'd have a meeting like once a week and plan meals. And then you could, like, eat what you want, but people would go shopping and they'd plan the meals. But also, you had your own kitchen in your own apartment, so you didn't have to eat with all the other old people if you didn't want to.
This is one of those places, too, that also gives us the three times a year story about the outbreak of clap among some group of oldsters.
Probably, yes.
They're just, like, getting their sex on at the age of, like, 80. You know, to be some Martha Ray-looking woman go, I still have needs, you know?
I guess there's a lot of sex that goes on in those places.
Oh, yeah. No, it's seriously. I mean, it's anybody who's worked in the media for more than a week has probably seen two stories come across their desk. One is the stupid flower that smells like flesh that, you know, blooms every 5 years, but that always seems to be this week in Britain. It's a terrible corpse flower. And then it's about old people who it's like they got some horrible, like, gonorrhea outbreak at the old folks' home because there's, like, some, you know, some woman who moved in or some guy who moved in and suddenly, like, everybody was getting their Brimley on, you know. You know what I'm talking about.
Getting their Brimley on.
Well, you know, cocoon Brimley.
Yes, I know. Exactly. Let's do our entertainment news.
One of the most horrifying moments, by the way, of my young life is watching Cocoon. And there's that moment when Brimley gets out of the swimming pool or whatever, and he points at his crotch and he goes, and down there, hard as a rock. I remember just watching that going, no. No.
Brimley boner. No.
All right, what are we doing here?
Entertainment.
All right, here's your entertainment news for Wednesday, April 6th, 2011.
Vince Neil is being charged with battery, domestic violence, and disorderly conduct after a confrontation in a Las Vegas hotel with his ex-girlfriend, Alicia Jacobs. The 50-year-old Motley Crue frontman, who was released from jail on February 25th after serving 10 days for a DUI conviction, is accused of jabbing his finger into the right shoulder of Jacobs, an entertainment reporter, as well as pointing and swearing at her and two of her friends.
Well, now that doesn't... I mean, to be fair to Vince Neil, that doesn't really sound that assaulty.
No,
Ike Turner is somewhere laughing.
This happened in the Shimmer Cabaret Lounge at the Hilton Las Vegas. Neil's attorney says the singer will plead not guilty and plans to vigorously defend this case at his arraignment on May 2nd.
That does seem like... That seems like one of those... That seems like one of those things where there's just such a low threshold now on what it takes to get him incarcerated, you know, or they get some sort of settlement out of him, that they probably are just waiting for the opportunity for a guy like that. Because, you know, like, I think once you kill a guy, probably it's open season on you.
I think on something like this, though, I mean, honestly, he's going to court for battery domestic violence for poking her in the shoulder and yelling at her.
Well,
I mean, this is one of those points, and I'm certainly, you know, I am not going to defend anyone who actually beats the crap out of women. But this is really your defense for something like this is, I believe, oh, come on.
Well, and also, I mean, look, if we can just speak honestly as adults here, Take a good long look at Vince Neil, and then think about Vince Neil and what you know of him for a while. Now imagine the kind of woman who probably dates that guy.
That's
a woman who's more than a little nuts, I would think. So, you know, all right.
A young model who worked as a personal assistant for Vince Schlomi, the TV pitchman responsible for the ShamWow and the Slap Chop, alleges that he wanted her to be his love slave and offered to buy her eggs for $20,000 and pay her to sleep in his bed with him. Jennifer Kaczynski, 23, also charges that Schlomi stalked her ex-boyfriend, used binoculars to watch her while she was on a Florida beach, and when she sought to visit a relative stricken with cancer, he told her, "Why don't you just see him when he's in the grave?" Kaczynski worked for Schlomi, who is 46, for about 9 months before being terminated in April 2010. In her district court complaint, which was filed April 1st in Miami, Kaczynski contends that she was canned after refusing to show a jealous Schlomi a text message that he thought was sent to her by a man. The lawsuit seeks unpaid wages, accuses Schlomi of civil battery and intentional infliction of emotional distress. The complaint does not specify monetary damages. Through an assistant, Schlomi directed an attorney to speak to the reporter about the complaint. Lawyer Joe Scholl told The Smoking Gun, "We'll have no comment at this point."
I don't understand. If they were presumably together, or they were together for a while anyway, why is he then also paying? The thing I don't get here is the paying for the eggs. Because it seems like if you're dating the chick and if she's already like giving it up, I mean, it seems like you're over. That's redundancy. You're overbuying something there.
I mean, yeah, because I don't know, because she began working as a customer service rep for him in 2009, but her job responsibilities quickly expanded.
I need to harvest your ovaries.
She moved to Miami Beach, where she became his personal assistant and lived rent-free in a spare bedroom in his $3 million oceanfront condo. For $4,500 a month, she cleaned his home, shopped for his groceries, cooked his meals, handled customer service responsibilities, and had to attend dinners, parties, and events with him. While chaperoning Schlomi at parties, Kaczynski claimed she had to make sure that her boss did not drink too much and did not get into trouble. Which, of course, as we know from his experience with, say, a prostitute back in 2009.
That ends poorly for him.
His behavior, she says, grew more bizarre and inappropriate. She made it clear their relationship would remain platonic, but she alleges that he pressured her to become romantically involved. He offered her money to sleep in the same bed and offered to buy her eggs.
See, that's the thing. But, well, you can't just put a sentence like that in a news story and then not follow up on it. Like, what do you mean he offered? I mean, I know what it means.
I know.
But, like, what the hell? That's what somebody really needs to add, is they need to add a what the hell button to some of these, you know, to like a Facebook like. And it's like, if enough people click the what the hell button, further explanation must be given by the reporting agency.
I know. It just says that he offered her money to sleep in the same bed for the eggs. Schlomi offered Kaczynski $20,000 and a paid one-month vacation for her parents to travel the world in exchange for her eggs.
All of them? Some of them?
I don't know. She also said that when she rebuffed him, he called her a bitch and the C word. Specifically because she, quote, would not tell him the secret formula that he claims existed for her to like him in a romantic manner.
And she's an egg hoarder.
I will say, though, this modeling photo of her, smoking hot.
Yeah, she looks like somebody who I can't quite place.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, look, you got to figure if you're the slap chop guy. I mean, that's, you know, make hay while the sun is shining.
Looks a little like Gina Gershon.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. Like Gina Gershon and, like, if Penelope Cruz didn't look like an insect.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Sean Hayes will play Larry in the long-awaited Three Stooges movie.
Sean Hayes of Will and Grace?
Yes.
Sean Hayes?
Yes.
Okay.
Will Sasso will star as Curly, and Hank Azaria will play Moe in the picture, which will be directed by the Farrelly brothers.
Well, there goes. I was interested until the last few words there.
Did you see the Jerry Lewis TV movie that Sean Hayes did?
No.
It was actually very good.
I didn't even know there was a Jerry Lewis TV movie.
Yeah, it was about his time with Dean Martin, and he I guess it was it. I might be thinking maybe I just dreamed it.
Okay.
The Dark Knight Rises, the final.
You just said Dark Knight.
Dark Knight Rises, the final chapter in Philip Nolan's Batman trilogy, will shoot this summer in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a beautiful city, said Nolan in a statement. We have been able to find everything we were looking for here, and I'm excited to spend the summer in Pittsburgh with our final installment of Batman.
Anybody who says I'm excited to spend the summer in Pittsburgh is lying to you.
Yeah.
They may have motivation to do so. They may mean well, but that's not true. That's never true.
No. Stone Cold Steve Austin divulged to the Associated Press that he turned down a shot at Dancing with the Stars because he says he has two left feet. When asked about Dancing with the Stars member and fellow wrestler Chris Jericho, Austin said the hoofer never gets nervous and he's going to go far. I will say I never watched Dancing with the Stars, but I saw like the first episode of this season and Chris Jericho actually did a good job.
Yeah.
He actually was a surprisingly solid dancer.
Have you ever seen him interviewed or have you ever had a chance? He's a great guy. Chris Jericho is really, really fascinating. And he's one of those guys that you just... Chris Jericho is interesting because you do realize, and I think we were talking about this the other day, that it's, I forget the example we were using, but it's where the wrestling is like anything else. 90% of the people in wrestling are just boobs to some degree. You know, they're just mouth breathers because that's just the way that the world works. But every now and again, regardless of profession, there's just a guy who seems like amazingly smart and together and just savvy and, you know, and you think to yourself, like, he just is so totally not what you would expect a guy to be who wrestles, you know, who does professional wrestling for a living.
You had him on the show.
We've had him on a couple times. We interviewed him once for his book and once for, I guess, maybe the paperback version of his book.
I think he was actually in the studio one day when I was there, and he had a whole like entourage of people with him.
That was Matt Lindland, I believe. No, that was Steve. It was Randy Couture.
That was Randy Couture.
It was Randy Couture,
right.
when he was they were talking about one of the they were doing one of the.
He was,
kind
of not a great guy.
No, Randy Couture was, Randy Couture is, he's an interesting, interesting individual who could kill me with one punch.
Right.
But Chris Jericho is a really smart, funny, sharp, savvy guy. And it's like, and even as much of a wrestling fan as I was growing up, even I get at the thing where it takes me a little bit by surprise. You know, because it's just so, it's so easy to think of those guys as being just lunks, because so many of them are. Because, like, most people are just lunks to one degree or another. But then you hear him interviewed or you see him doing something like Dancing with the Stars, and you realize that he's just such a textured, layered guy in a way that you wouldn't really expect. So, good for him. Well done.
Charlie Sheen is set to trademark 22 of his popular catchphrases. Among the phrases Sheen plans to trademark are, duh, winning, Vatican assassin, rockstar from Mars, and tiger blood. Sheen's rep added that if any of the trademarks are granted, uses of the catchphrases in various products will be determined in the future.
Of those two, which do you, of those catchphrases, which two do you believe will pay the biggest dividends? If you could only trademark two of those things, what would they be?
Well, try tiger blood.
Yeah.
Because you can, like, you know.
Energy drink.
And I like Vatican assassin. I could see that on T-shirts and stuff.
See, I would go with the duh winning. Is that two different things or is that one?
No, duh, that's winning. One. Duh, comma, winning.
Oh, see, I don't get. No, I dropped the duh. The winning with an exclamation mark, though.
Yeah.
I would absolutely trademark that.
Yeah. Vatican Assassin, though, has a really nice ring to it.
I suppose it could... Vatican Assassin is great. It should be used for something. I don't know that it... I know this sounds insane because it's... there's probably no reason because it's Charlie Sheen. In what context was he using the phrase Vatican Assassin?
I don't know. I think he was just calling himself that, like, you know...
Is it just he just liked the linguistics?
Yeah.
He liked the assonance of it? It just sort of flowed in a way that
he just thinks it sounds badass.
Well, it kind of does, is the thing. It doesn't really mean anything, but then again, it doesn't really have to. It's all about the delivery and that. All right. Is that the end of our entertainment news?
That is the end of entertainment.
All right. There's your entertainment news for Wednesday right here at Legion of News. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today we'll talk to Mr. Aaron Mesh. He confirmed he will be in the studio. We didn't get any sort of confirmation on the mom and dad issue, but Aaron Mesh will be in the studio. He may or may not be bringing a top five with him.
Oh.
Plus, we've got a religious nutcase watch and all that. So that's coming up next hour. And by the way, and I've got, I don't know if you've seen this yet. I hesitate to even ask about this. Did you see that thing? Did a guy send you that YouTube video?
No.
Okay.
No.
Then you, and I don't even need to clarify what it is then because you'd know what I was talking about. I had a listener who sent me a YouTube video last night. Listener Matt, I believe his name was. And by the way, sir, you can, there's some, I'll just say this. There's some sort of punishment awaiting the several people who sent this to me last night because it's one of those things that you think you know what you're watching, and then you don't know what you're watching at all. And I was deeply unsettled for about half an hour after watching it. So thanks a lot for that.
But, I'm glad that they sent it to you and not to me.
No. You'll get to see it next hour. That's at rickemersonshow.com. That's rickemersonshow.com. Let's do like one more here, and we'll wrap it up.
Okay. The royal wedding is a little more than 3 weeks away, and you can have a taste of royal, I guess, by going to Dunkin' Donuts. In honor of the upcoming wedding of the century, Dunkin' Donuts will introduce the Royal Wedding Donut the week leading up to the wedding. The Royal Wedding has turned into a really significant event, said executive chef for Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin Robbins, Stan Frankenthaler.
So much wrong with this sentence.
It's a heart-shaped donut filled with jelly and topped with vanilla ice cream icing and chocolate drizzle. Also, Dunkin' Donuts' sister brand, Baskin-Robbins, is introducing a commemorative royal wedding ice cream cake topped with white and blue roses. Its design is meant to be reminiscent of an English garden. The plans for the cake and the donuts grew with the help of the company's British-born CEO. As a global company, Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin-Robbins have the ability to celebrate a world event in many countries.
That's one
the
of those things you almost embrace, though, just because you know it probably horrifies Britons to some degree. You know that it is this royal wedding, which is, you know, it's this very very magistral affair, and it's a source of national pride, and it's heritage, and it's tradition, and it's the melding of church and culture and government, and then we're just like making it into a donut, making it into a Dunkin' Donut filled with like cream and with like sprinkles squirted on top of it and going, well, we know it's kind of big deal to you guys, and so we're celebrating it with this donut.
This classy, classy donut.
And some huge guy with massive ass crack just shoving a donut into his mouth to help you celebrate your cultural heritage.
I have a medium coffee, and I'm going to try one of them royal wedding donuts.
One of them Brit things. Give me that. All right. Excellent. Fantastic. And with that, we do this. There we go. We bring down the curtain on another exciting episode of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, it's available as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com later on in the day, also at iTunes. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, here high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff and maker of the Barksdale and Bell shirt, which I will link to later on the day, Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next to rickemersonshow.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you again tomorrow at noon with special fill-in host Eric D. Snyder. That is tomorrow, Legion of News. Have a safe and satisfying Wednesday, won't you?